Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
With His works, and by works, faith was made perfect. As the scripture has said, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, if that's not kind of talked out, it could be a little bit confusing. Wait a minute, I thought we were saved by faith, not works. Is this contradicting? No, it's not at all. But what it is declaring to you is, yes, Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness, but that was the belief that caused his faith to work. Do you get the difference? A true faith in the gospel, in what is being communicated to you and to me tonight, that it's through belief on Jesus in everything that he did for us, living your life and then dying your death. If you receive that perfect free gift of salvation, because we know that it is a free gift of God, it's not of works, lest any man should boast, but that when you receive that and you have true faith, your true faith shows itself by works. Do you get the difference? So it's not a contradiction at all. It's a faith, and if it's a true faith, it'll produce itself in works. And in the context of James, it talks about the fact that he offered up Isaac. And if you know that, that happened in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and it was a trial of his faith. And we'll talk a little bit more about trials of faith in a minute. But again, just to recap, what shall we say? What did Abraham receive? It wasn't by works, but he simply believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, verse 4, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Makes sense. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted, notice, for righteousness. Just as David also describes this blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. And then he quotes Psalm 32. Okay, so what are we doing? For a Jewish mindset, you're looking back to Papa Abraham. And then what about our lovely King David? Did he know anything about this? Actually, he did. And he wrote about it in Psalm 32. Gift of God, but you must believe by faith and receive. And it's always been this way. So not being weak in faith, verse 19, he did not consider his own body already dead, being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver, notice, at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. That's what it is. Let God be true and every man a liar. This is the best news you could ever give anybody and say, guess what? What? Have you received the forgiveness of sins? That your lawless deeds could be forgiven? And they say, well, how do you do that? Or, I'm being a good person. I'm surely going to make it. And then you got to share them the reality on the ground. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Yeah, you might be I don't know how many people I've met, and I say, you're the nicest sinner I've ever met. There's some really nice sinners out there. Would you agree? Sure. But all have sinned. And so the idea here is, thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you teach me more about his holy name? It's from a song. But isn't that the truth? And it's so glorious. And he's building this thing. Now, he's going to be building it. I'm sorry. He's building this all the way up until the 8th chapter. So this is the start of his display, really, of God's glory. The plan of salvation. Because it is truly glorious. Who would have ever thought that? But aren't you so grateful that he did it? And that it's simple? It's not confusing. And the reason why it's so full and so rich is because we're so undone. But it was always in God's heart and plan, not just to save Papa Abraham and to start a nation through him, which he did, and we know the story, but to bring it to a time like tonight, where we're Gentiles and we're like, wow, I needed to hear that again. I'm not under God's wrath. Actually, I have peace with God. How many of the epistles start that way? Grace and peace to you. From who? From President Obama? Grace and peace to you from Queen Elizabeth? I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it? No, from God the Father. He's saying that to you. In my Son, I can extend my grace to you, and I can give you my peace because I was at war with you before. That's why you were tormented. The way of the wicked is, you know, there's no rest for the wicked, it says. It's always tumultuous with the wicked. Wicked meaning the unconverted, let's put it that way, right? We were all wicked. But all of our wickedness, let's use some really hard terms here because, you know, it's okay. It's how vile it is. But our wickedness, every vile thing you've ever done is completely forgiven. Why? Because Jesus lived your life and then he died your death. And if you, the book of Hebrews says, if how shall you escape God's judgment? How shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? And it's a free gift of God. That's the glorious part. So, even though Abraham came up to a real test of his faith, realizing his own body's done, but he didn't stagger at the promises of God, but he was also counting him fully convinced that God was able to perform that which he had committed, or that's what he promised, verse 21. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now this is not just written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. And it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, our wickedness. That's why he died. He lifted up, meaning delivered up, meaning to judgment. And he was raised from the dead for our justification. See, that resurrection, if that didn't happen, Paul the Apostle would even say in another place, in Corinthians, I believe it is, that you are of most men to be pitied, that you're still dead in your trespasses and your sins, if Christ had not been risen from the dead. What does the resurrection add to it? It was added for our justification. It was sounding to the heavens and to the earth that God accepts the sacrifice of his own Son, the Lamb of God, who took away the sin of the world. And that's the best news I think you could ever hear. If that doesn't thrill your heart once again, I don't know what else will. We are a blessed people. And one day, we'll be in heaven together. We'll be in his presence. And you'll say, remember that Sunday night when you were talking about those things? Now we're living it out. It's going to happen one day. It might happen quicker than we think. But make sure you've received his salvation. Make sure it's true, genuine faith that changed your life. Because if that's the case, God says, I have peace with you now. I have grace for you now. Because God is a God of love, but he's a God of justice. And so he must punish sin. But there's an interesting word, and I'll end with this, concerning the crucifixion of Jesus. It's the word propitiation. He was made propitiation for our sins. Do you know what the word propitiation, could you describe that to me? If not, I'm going to give you a very good definition of what the word propitiation. It is the appeasement of God's wrath. See, God's angry at sin, and he laid upon him the iniquities of all Saul. Psalm 53, it pleased him because he's righteous and he can't stand this sin. It irritates him. It upsets him. He's angry at sin. And so where do we run? We run to Jesus. It's like the ark, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Well, if you don't know what it was like in the days of Noah, you better read it, because we're living in those times now. Anyways, the point I'm trying to make here is, where were they safe? In the ark. In Christ, if you will. In fact, the Bible talks about that they took this oil product, and he was to lather the inside and the outside of the ark with this oil product. And the word for that oil product that would make it waterproof is, in the Hebrew, kofar. It's the same word used, kofar in Hebrew, it's the same word used for atonement. And where there is atonement, the judgment doesn't come. You and I need an atonement. We need a kofar. Jesus is that final atonement. He is the ultimate atonement. And when you're in him, you're saved from the wrath to come. And God laid upon him propitiation, the iniquities of us all. The appeasement of God's wrath is satisfied. So if you're found in Jesus, he's satisfied with that. You have peace. But one day he will vindicate himself in a very real way, and he will destroy all the wickedness. But he doesn't want to, because he's also a God of love. And that's the beauty of the gospel, is that he was able to remain loving and just. So now he is the justifier to make men just. That's how it works. So it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Amen? So thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful salvation. And Lord, we just give you thanks tonight. We bless you that we're in Christ. And if anybody's not in Christ or unsure about it, Lord, may they just run into you. May they call upon your name. May they receive your salvation. For you said that if you received him, that you would give them power to be called children of God, to as many as call upon your name. So we bless you tonight, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, also to share this news, Lord. Help us to articulate these truths, we pray, by the power of your Spirit, Lord. Raise up more apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers, Lord, to reach people, we pray. And use us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life